Welcome back.
Hey. It's like we never left.
Yeah, it's like we didn't take 5 months off. Or six. Close to six.
I really thought I was going to botch that. Because it's been so long since I've played.
Well, and you did it on your phone instead of the pad.
Man, a lot of things. A lot of things have changed. A lot of things have happened.
That's true. First of all, we're in... I don't know if this will... I mean, I think with some tweaking, this can be the studio.
Yeah.
I have to move some stuff around, but
yeah.
Either way, we're in a new recording space.
We're going to have to put up some panels or something.
Something. Yeah. It's a tad echoey.
Yeah, it's a little more so. Plus, I think it doesn't help that we're on top of each other.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, I thought it would be really beneficial to get a little like a desk mic stand, and it did not play out quite like I had imagined.
I did find the mount for your...
Oh,
did you? I did find the desk mount.
Yeah. Okay, because I came and I took the other clamp mount because I needed it in my little...
Well, then I found mine. Either
so
way,
so you
I
must found have found
one.
Yours. but yeah, this is like I'm hunched over.
Well, this will be good for your back.
Yeah, no, this is great. This feels good.
Yeah, just like that.
Yeah, I'm just hunched over, kind of whispering. Because if I talk any louder, it's going to go into your microphone.
Yeah. I mean, I can move back.
Well, you know, it's just, it is what it is.
Just a bit. No, I can't. See, you're on the exact opposite. I am set bolt upright.
Yes.
And cannot move forwards.
And cannot
at all.
Move forwards. So, yeah. So, new space. Razzle here has packed up and moved shop away from where we were. And, not only that, but, you know, we had to take some time off because, obviously, Razzle moved. Razzle now has a small, gooey, unformed human.
A spawnling?
Yeah.
I do.
Kind of like if you take a loaf of bread out about 15 minutes too early. Still soft. And chewy.
Imagine you walk in on a loaf of bread shit in its pants.
Yeah, so you know, life changes. Mm-hmm. You know. But then it's all good things.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been, at least for me, it's been an extremely, extremely stressful last couple of months.
Yeah. Because
it was like, you know, the little one was born, and the night he was born, we got the offer on our old place, so in the first 6 weeks of him being alive, we moved, which was...
He's already...
A nightmare.
...living the instability of the American dream.
Right, exactly. It's all this house of cards that we moved into.
Hey, man.
Could collapse at any moment.
This is a good life lesson for your doughy child.
Oh, I figured out how to recline a little bit.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. There we go. See, it's getting better by the minute.
Yeah,
you just got to get back in.
You know, got to get into the groove. You're on your cord, though.
Yeah, well, I just don't have to. I just won't move.
Okay.
Oh, kick the mic.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good now.
So I wanted to talk about the little dough ball. So I, of course, have little dazzles.
They're not
little anymore. You know, they are old and on the verge of
manhood.
Manhood, yeah, taking flight.
on the verge of creating their own.
Yeah, creating their own little dough balls.
Yeah, wadded up and stuck under the pillow.
Yeah. Oh God, so many crunchy socks.
I talked to my boss about that, asking him how old, because he has four kids. Three of them are boys, and I was asking him how old they are, and he was telling me, I think he said one of them's like 13, 12, 13. I'm like, man, they've almost got porn. Like, they're almost going to be sucked into that world, and you just won't have to worry about them for a couple of years. They'll find...
Almost. 13?
12, 13? I mean, I don't know. I don't wanna...
That's like eighth grade.
Yeah, I don't want to put it past them.
Yeah, that's...
I don't want to make assumptions. My point was that, like, pretty soon, you know, you don't have to worry about where they're at, what they're... They're in their room. They're jerking off.
Yeah, it's one of two
And
two
they're
places.
Not going to get in any trouble while they're doing it. Most likely. I mean, with so much free porn now, you're not going to steal your parents. There was a short window where people were taking their parents' credit cards and signing up for porn sites and shit, but it's...
God, they have it so good.
I know.
man, I remember when I was young.
On dial-up.
Well, even before that, I mean, well, what was I? I was, let's see, how old was I when I first jerked off? Let's see. 11? 12?
Yeah, I don't remember. It's, and I don't even know.
That was like on the birth of the internet. Like, yeah. We're talking 96, 97.
Yeah.
You know? So it wasn't even a sense of, you know, there was no, I was in the age of the scrambled.
The
scrambled station.
Trying to figure out your parents' parental code for the cable box.
Yeah. I mean, I remember what I used to do. God, this is going to sound so bad. One of the TVs that we had, went to like channel, I don't know, like 86. I don't know what channel it was. But if you would go to that, it would be scrambled. It'd be a pay-per-view scrambled channel.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 seconds, when you would go to that channel, it mm-hmm. would be scrambled. You could hear it, but then it would go to fuzz or black. So I would just sit there. You know where I'm going with this. I would sit there and hit repeat on the remote. So I would jump back and forth between that channel and the whatever other channel I was on. And I would do it so fast that you could kind of hear. And, you know, I'm not getting any pleasure out of this. I can't multitask like that, but I can hear it. And I'm like, I can hear it.
I'm saving this for later in my brain.
Yes, I'm keeping it in the brain. And after that, it was, I had my own TV in my room, finally. I say finally. Most kids didn't back then.
I didn't. I did eventually, but I didn't for a long time.
Yeah, my sixth-ish grade. Before we moved out, but when we still lived in the city,
mm-hmm.
before we moved out to the suburbs, and the first time, have I ever told the story about the first time I ever jerked off?
I don't think so.
I don't know. It's been so long.
I don't know that I've heard this.
If you've never heard this story?
I've heard it, I don't remember
sit,
it.
Sit back. Sit back, my love. Okay. So I'm watching Jay Leno. Now, already...
What a great start.
The mood is set.
What a great start.
I'm watching Jay Leno, and one of the newer movies that is out, I don't know if it had been out for a while, if it was just coming out, was Wild Things. Mm. Wild Things, if you're unawares, is a very awful movie with Denise Richards, Neve Campbell, and Horseface.
Lesbionics.
Yeah, yeah. But that horse face guy from Something About Mary.
Dylan? Matt Dillon?
Matt Dillon, is that his name?
I think so.
Anyway, and Neve Campbell comes on, and I'm like, all right, I like this. And then they like show some scene from the movie of like them in a pool or something. I'm like, okay. And so I start, you know, kind of surveying the area and, you know, just doing things and yeah. And then, kablammo. And, the first thought I had was that, I broke something. I thought I broke my dick. I thought, cause up until that point, like I used to kind of like hump pillows and be like, yeah, this feels good. I like this. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there was never any grand finale. It was just like, hey, I'm going to rub up on this pillow for a little while and then go back to playing with the old action figures.
This reminds me of a Big Mouth.
Yeah. You know, a lot of pillow humping.
Jay fucking his pillow.
Yeah. And, yeah, I freaked out. I had to bring it back, calm down.
Oh, I thought you meant like you carried your expungent.
No,
to the nearest
parental. It went all over me. You know, because I didn't know anything was going to happen, so you know, it just vomited. My dick just, you know, like a night after six Jaeger bombs, just, and then it was just kind of just there. And I was like, this is my life now.
Briefly in my mind, I had to walk myself back to from Jay Leno. I'm like, wait a minute. I know the story started with Jay Leno. Where did we go from?
Yeah, oh, it's a big, it's a big thing to unpack.
What an intro.
You know, he's like, hey, have you seen this? So yeah, so I just grabbed a shirt and I kind of, you know, dried off, squeegeed it off, and then did it six more times.
Yeah, that's and that was the next 5 years of your life.
And that pretty much encompassed all the way up to sophomore year of high school.
Yeah, see, that's what I mean. It's like once your kids find porn, it's like good. Like at least they're not doing anything harmful.
No, I mean, I mean, I don't really like. I don't care. I know that they were both of my kids were way too young when they because I already know that they've been exposed to it. I've been battling that monster since the littlest Dazzle has been, you know, what? 5, 6.
I remember the you got a call about YouTube searches once.
Yeah, well, many times YouTube searches. You know, he would go on the iPad and like just search. Just like it was so weird because they were the most innocent searches, but you know that the end result was going to be bad. Like he's like Google's two girls kissing, and it's like, well, that's cute. I mean, that's innocent, but you fucking know the end result of that is going to be some mandingo.
It's gonna be like a 5-person cum swap.
Yeah, and it's like, and then it's gonna be tagged girls kissing. You know. So there's no winning, you know, it was innocent. You know, when I was that age, I would have been like, you know, girls kissing, that's cool, you know, whatever. But yeah, man, like they were exposed at a very young age, and it's been a battle ever since. So learn from my mistakes. It's going to be even harder for you.
Why do you, well, because of the
because person, it's yeah, every, like you can't. You know, especially with us, like, you know, how many laptops do you have
in this room?
House? Just in this room.
In this room, there are three.
You know, like, how many electronic devices do you have that can reach the internet?
All of them.
All of them. Every room, everything.
My light switch can reach the internet.
Exactly. So it's like, it's even worse now for you than it was for me when they were younger.
Yep.
And, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk about actually was now that you're a newly christened, you're in the brotherhood of parenthood. But it hasn't been that long.
No,
you know, the kid, like
it's
I said,
been, it's been, it'll be 2 months. So it's already, it's been over 8 weeks, but it'll be 2 months in 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. See that the kid's almost indistinguishable to a human. So say, what the hell was that? Was that you?
Okay. Yes.
So being in the like the infancy, I'll ask you, in the early stages of parenthood, is there anything that has like met an expectation that you set?
An expectation that I set?
Well, yeah, like not knowing what you were getting into at first. Is there something that maybe like everybody told you? And that you didn't believe.
Yeah. The whole sleep.
Yeah, sleep doesn't
the
exist.
The sleep deprivation thing. Mm-hmm. It's so much more real and powerful than I expected. Like, you know, people say it like, yeah, you're never going to sleep again.
And you're like, you just don't know how to manage your time. I just don't know how to raise children.
Well, that's a different joke I like to make all the time. I always tell all my friends with kids, like,
I guess I'm better than you.
Parenthood's easy. You guys just complain a lot.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're complaining about. Well, joke's on me there. Anyway, yeah, no, the lack of sleep is real. Very real. So it's hard for me to decouple the stress of that with the stress of moving. Right now it's just all one.
Oh, just God.
Cesspool of a stress pool,
cesspool of stress. I honestly would have left him at the firehouse for a month or two and then went back to get him and be like, you know what, I'm ready. Yeah. I'll take him back.
Yeah, it's been rough As I'm yawning right now. It's been very rough. But I mean, we're lucky. He's great. He sleeps pretty decently. I mean, he slept last night and the night before. He slept from like 10:30 to about 6 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, he can't really complain with that kind of...
But that's literally... That's just started these last two nights.
Well, maybe that is the...
That's a new...
You just gotta do like what athletes do when they win the big game. You
don't shower.
Don't change anything.
Yeah, exactly.
We are doing the same thing every day at every... Just mimicking those 2 days.
Yeah, it's been interesting. And then the last couple days... I mean, every couple of days, there's something crazy going on. Like... You know, somebody's going to the hospital, somebody's coming from the airport, we're getting something delivered, something's getting installed, or, you know, so we still haven't, we've been here 2 weeks, just over 2 weeks, no, right around 2 weeks, and it still hasn't really, like, settled, as you can tell by looking around, and there's shit everywhere.
Yeah.
It hasn't really settled down.
I couldn't, like, nothing against your process, but, I couldn't do this.
Yeah.
There's no way.
Yeah. It's hectic. It's rough.
You know, one of the things that I've said when I move is that none of this is coming with me. Like in my house, nothing. Like I am starting, well, except for like the stuff I want. Like my musical equipment and all that stuff. All that stuff's going to come with, but that's one you know, a car ride. You know, I can pack all that in a SUV or rent a little truck and then take it. But, dude, everything else, it's all going to be, we're going to go to the furniture store and just buy everything, have it delivered, and that's the end. You know, there's nothing I need to take that. And because that's the one of the problems is that when you accumulate so much stuff, it's just a never-ending battle with accumulation, and then you don't want to get rid of any of it. Like honestly, if I were to go through these boxes, I could probably throw out. Like I see, like that
almost certainly
HP touchpad that's fucking 10 years old.
Yeah, it still works.
I'm sure it still works, but you ain't never gonna use that. You know,
true, but it still works.
I mean, maybe you could like you know take it apart and have funsies with it, but
I'm creating a museum.
Oh, okay. Like a tour through the ages.
Yeah, exactly.
The electronics. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you've accumulated quite a bit of stuff, and there's a subwoofer on the floor that I swear to God is as big as my mini fridge. What is that?
It's a home theater subwoofer that was in my living room at the old house.
Home theater subwoofer.
Yeah,
I didn't even know they made them that big.
Oh, that's...
It's got to be so old.
It is, but that's only a 10-inch. They make them much bigger than that.
Fuck that, man. That thing's huge. At first, I didn't know what it was. I was like, what is this microwave sitting on the floor? So the sleep deprivation is real. I will attest to that. That is a real thing. Is there anything that hasn't... Like, is there anything that people you know, warned you or said and that was not the case?
I'm trying to think. Not really. I mean, there's expectations that we had that sort of fell apart almost immediately. But not really stuff that people told us. Yeah, I mean, from the very beginning, like we wanted to have a natural birth, and we ended up having a C-section, and it took like 3 days, and then there was just all kinds of shit, right? Absolutely nothing has been smooth at all. So it's we had our own expectations that sort of fell flat, but nothing really other people said or did that didn't pan out for us.
Yeah, I remember she was in labor for a while.
Yeah, it was like 3 days.
Oh, God.
We went into the hospital Thursday night, and he was born Saturday. We went home Monday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was rough.
At least you didn't have a Burger King incident like I did when littlest Dazzle was born.
What?
I'm sure I've told you that story.
I don't remember.
Oh. I don't eat Burger King.
Yeah, I do vaguely remember this story.
Yeah,
but for those who don't,
for those who don't heard who it. Haven't heard, so I don't eat Burger King, not just because it's awful, but because how long has it been? 12 years. So the day Littlest Dazzle was born, you know, I the ex-wife turns and is like, yeah, no, it's time. And then got the bag and everything and, you know, drove all the way from the suburbs all the way out to where we were, you know, the hospital that he was going to be born at. So it was a little bit of a drive, but get out there. It's pretty early in the morning. Check her in, you know, admit her, everything. And a couple hours go by and I'm starving. I hadn't eaten all day. And we're about in the noonish, one-ish area of time. And right next to the hospital, there's a Burger King. So I go over to the Burger King. And I'm kind of a very, my eyes are usually bigger than my stomach type person. And I'm like, you know what? I need this triple Whopper. Like, I need it. Like I'm that hungry.
The precursor to the Bacon King?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't know that Burger King had a triple Whopper at one time.
Oh, yes.
But they did.
I've eaten them.
And I'm sitting there. I take it in. I'm in the room. And mind you, my ex-wife is like not even sweating it. Like, I have a very like biased view of childbirth just because I saw my ex-wife do it. And she probably could have. I mean, she probably could have sketched a painting, you know, it was like she was napping. Like she just went and then, you know, it was done. She wasn't in pain. She wasn't screaming. I mean, she had an epidural. Obviously, that helps. But
right.
But in any event, so we're sitting there. She's just watching TV. And I'm like, are you sure this baby's coming? Because you seem pretty fine. Little do I know, like, she's dilated to the size of a fucking monster can or whatever. Like, she's crowning. And you know, so I'm sitting there and I'm eating my triple Whopper. All of a sudden, it's like, okay, here we go. And I'm like, what? So I'm sitting over a trash can shoving triple Whopper because obviously I have to finish it.
Yeah, you already
paid. I can't leave.
Not getting rid of it.
I'm not getting rid of it. You know, I'm not going to bring this child in the world with wasting food. So I'm shoving this fucking thing in my mouth. I eat the triple Whopper. I'm like no joke. I'm like, all right. I walk over and they put the gown on me and everything, and I'm sitting there The baby, you know, Littlest Dazzle had a big fucking noggin. So it's like it's stuck at a crossroads here. Like either the kid's gonna come out with a cylindrical skull or they had to do an episiotomy. Mm-hmm. So for those that don't know what an episiotomy is, that's when they fucking cut your taint. Like it's.
Yeah.
So I, curious beaver that I am.
They changed the taint to an ain't.
Yes. And I'm like, hey, man, I want to see this. And they told me, no, stay on the other side of the curtain. I'm like, you can't tell me what to do. I am this child's father. I want to see it birthed into this world. So I kind of do a little peekaroo around the corner of the drape. And I see them go, and it looked like a face hugger from Aliens. It's like the vagina, once you cut that taint, it just unfolds into this alien-like structure that immediately, first of all, I could never see that vagina the same again. That's it. That's your vagina now. And I was like, okay. Came back over, and then holding the hand, you know, they rip him out with quite a bit of force. You know, they don't fuck around with babies. Like, mm-hmm. it's like even in a modern age, it feels like archaic. Like they're pulling him out with salad tongs. You know, and you know, so they rip the kid out, and they, you know, the and then everything kind of falls, you know, the guts and stuff and placenta and all that other stuff. So fine. So, you know, they're cleaning the baby off. They're sucking shit out of his face. They put him in the little incubatorial bed. And then I went, is that it? And they're like, yeah. And I was like, oh, good. And then I turn over and I violently throw up. Like, I'm talking violent. It was and everybody's yelling at me, like the nurses and the ex-wife. She's yelling at me. I'm like, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to do this in the hall? I was like, this needs to come out now. So I threw up violently, emptied my system. One of the nurses had to immediately take the trash can out of the room, and I had to clean up and disinfect and come back, and, you know, that was that. And anytime I even, for a while, just smelled flame-broiled anything, I would get sick. And then, you know, now it's okay, but I don't eat. I think I ate Burger King once in the past few years, and it was awful. And I don't even think it was a burger. I think it was like those chicken Cheeto fry things. Mm. And I tried those, and I was like, nah.
Yeah, it's a low bar.
Yeah. So that was my birthing experience. I mean, it literally only took like eight hours.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine was a little different.
Yours was, yeah, 3 days.
The nice thing was, so afterwards, because I was in the OR, and she's laying there, and she's awake, and she's talking, and she keeps saying, like, you know, I'm going to pass out. And the doctor's like, yeah, go ahead, pass out. Like, you've been up for 3 days doing this, you know, being in labor for 3 days. So go ahead, pass out. That's fine. She's like, no, I'm going to pass out. You don't understand. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. She's like, well, I can't breathe. He's like, you're breathing just fine. Like, look on the monitor. Your levels are off. She's like, well, no, I can't breathe. And he's like, you just can't feel yourself breathing. Like, you're so numb that you can't actually feel that you're filling your lungs with enough air and then breathing it out. You're right. Fine. And then she's like, okay, I'm sorry for talking so much. And then people on the other side of the curtain are like chuckling. Like, lady, you're in surgery. Like, don't stop apologizing.
I'm sorry, I have to take up your time. I'm sorry, doctor.
And then they're like, at one point, like, so they in their medical speak or whatever must have signaled that it was that they had pulled him out. And at one point, so I'm sitting, the curtain's, you know, to my left. She's right in front of me laying down. And then I can't see anything to my left because the curtain's like high up. Mm-hmm. And then the anesthesiologist to my right, and he's standing so he can see over the curtain. He at one point is like, hey, stand up, you know, take a look at your boy, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, cool. So I stand up and I look, and I'm like, so my eyes did this laser focus directly onto him. And like, there's a whole open abdomen
cavity
over here that I'm not going to look at. I'm looking at him and I see him like, oh, yeah, great. And
it's a ball. Baby.
And then like, he's like, okay, sit down, sit back down. And then they're like doing their suction and spanking and weighing and measuring and all that. And then they bring him over and have us give him a kiss. And he's like freaking out. But then
put me back in.
Yeah. After all that, while they were getting her like out of there and like in recovery and stuff, they brought us back. They brought me and him back to the room, and they're like, okay, do you want to hold him? I'm like, yeah, of course. I hold him. They're like, yeah, well, they're going to be back in like 20 minutes, half hour. Are you cool? I'm like, yeah, sure. I'm good. And so for like the first half hour he was alive, well, after coming out of the OR.
I was like, was he dead in the womb?
No. The first half hour after he was born.
Okay.
It was just he and I sitting in the room together, just alone, just me and him. There were no nurses. Nobody mm-hmm. was coming in or out. It was just me and him. So we got that bonding experience. And then we did like the golden hour and skin to skin and all that stuff. So.
Oh, yeah. I remember that nonsense.
The new agey.
Yeah.
New agey stuff.
Hipster stuff.
I will tell you that I have a serious frustration with labor and delivery nurses. Like, first of all, I absolutely couldn't do that job. Like, mm-hmm. it's unbelievable. I can't even think about, like, problems in birth and delivery and sick kids. I can't even think about it. It makes me crazy at this point. Like, if there's one thing about my perspective that has changed, it's stuff like that. Like kids, you know, or babies and stuff like that. It's just a whole new perspective on like sick kids, sick babies, stuff like that. Anyway, they have to deal with an unbelievable amount of like stress and pressure and all that stuff. And I get that. Every one of them has a different opinion on the only way to raise a baby. Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And every one of them, it's gospel. Mm-hmm. And they will tell you, no, you're doing everything wrong. You need to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. And then the next nurse that comes in, like, no, that's all wrong. You should be doing it this way. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. And then the doctor will come in and tell you that all the nurses are full of shit. And really, it's this way and blah, blah. And it's so unbelievably stressful on specifically on new parents. But like at the point he was born late at night on the third day we were there. So it's like we are exhausted and we're stressed. And, you know, we have a new kid and she's like just out of surgery. So it's like it's really hard and it's all new for us. And then every person we see is telling us we're doing everything wrong and that this is the way to do stuff. And then the next person is saying that they're doing it wrong. And it's been insane.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of along the lines of just because, you know, you let your kid eat raw honeycomb, you know, and it grew up to be a physicist that, it must've been that raw honeycomb, right? Like, and it's fine. Like, it's, yeah, everybody has their, everybody tries to attribute their own success, I'll say successes, in parenthood to, you know, other people for some reason. And that's never going to stop. I just want you to know that. Like, people will continue to do that. Parents will continue to do that. I won't do that. But a lot of other parents are going to be like, oh, is he teething? Oh, okay. Well, you know what you need to do?
Yeah.
You know.
It's happening.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen from.
And that's fine. Now, but see, now, you know, when it's stuff like, you know, teething or whatever, you know, now we're kind of at least in the swing of things. We kind of have a sense of when he's normal, when he's not normal, whatever. In the beginning, we have no idea what's going on. Right, we don't know if he's normal, if he's not normal, if he's happy, sad.
Is he supposed to be purple? Is he
right? Stuff like that. We have no idea, and everybody's like coming in with different. And it ended up leading to him, because another thing that we had planned on that sort of changed is we planned on breastfeeding, and that didn't work out for a number of reasons. But he wasn't getting any food for like the first 2 days he was alive, and all the nurses are like, yeah, no, he's fine. He's fine. Go ahead. They didn't weigh him. They didn't weigh him before we left the hospital, which they're supposed to do.
What?
They're like, no, he's fine, blah, blah, blah. And a day after we get home, we came home on like a Monday. By Tuesday, like afternoon, he hadn't had a wet diaper in more than 24 hours.
Yep.
And we're like, what the fuck is going on? So we ended up giving him a little bit of like a pre-made formula thing that we got sent. We gave him that just to give him something.
Right.
And then the doctor wanted to see him right away. He had lost a lot. He lost not more than the scary amount of weight. Babies are supposed to lose weight after they leave the hospital, or after they're born. But the scary amount is like 10% of their original weight or more. And he was at like 9.7% of his weight. So what we ended up doing is we ended up, he wouldn't latch, and it was just a bunch of problems. So she ended up pumping, and then we were supplementing with formula, and, you know, and everybody out there, and I'm not debating the science or any of that about formula versus breast milk and things like that, but people have to understand that the mission is get the food into the kid,
right?
It doesn't matter.
That's number one,
right? But it's like everybody puts their own list of priorities on things, and it really ends up fucking over the kid. So, and then we had scares with like the Illinois does a screening, a newborn screening for like a ton of different genetic diseases. And he came back with a false positive.
Big dick disease?
Yes, a BDD. Yeah, that one they don't skip. Well, they don't have to take a blood sample for it.
Thank God.
The nurses, you know, even that's up to opinion, but the nurses the nurses can make it can eyeball it. So to speak. So he had a false positive for something, and the way the doctor handled it was really shitty because the doctor wouldn't give us any information. He referred us to a specialist, and we had to wait for the specialist. And that's what I mean. It's like it's been like nonstop chaos and calamity every couple of days since he was born. So it's been rough this whole time.
Yeah, I will say that. I would say the first, I don't know, in my situation, both of my little Dazzles were different. I think the older Dazzle, I think with him, it was more of a, like for the first 5 or 6 years, it was a lot of stuff. He had to be in speech therapy. He had to be in, you know, like a behavioral therapy. You know, it was kind of one of those things where he was behind on some things, and then one day, boom, he caught up. it was the weirdest thing. Like he wasn't speaking a lot, you know, when he was younger, and I actually was very similar. You know, I jumped right from grunting to sentences. It was very weird, and he was the very very same way. So, you know, there was, I would say, it's really dependent, but I think the hecticness it persists pretty much through the first 5-6 years. I think once they start going to school, you know, once they start going to school and there's somebody else's problem for 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours, then I think from that point, it's like, oh, we can take a breather, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know what your plan is for future Razzles. I don't know if you're trying to stack them like dominoes or.
So the I mean, we have a loose plan, and the doctor has sort of given us guidelines on like when and you know when we should start trying again and stuff like that. So it'll be a little bit before we start trying again, but you know. The plan as of right now is still to have more. Although I did say in the hospital when I was there, I'm like, after going through all this shit, I was like, I don't understand who goes through this and says, yeah, I want to do that again.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I don't think it would happen the same way.
And that's what the doctors and everybody keep saying, like, well, you just have it scheduled and come in and.
Yeah, I think you hit enough road bumps and you push through it and then you gain that knowledge. And then when you have another kid, you are much, much more prepared and know what to expect. Somewhat. I mean, obviously life gives you curveballs, but
yeah.
Generally speaking, you know, I remember when oldest Dazzle was born, I was pretty freaked out, and I was much younger than you are now.
Yeah,
I was just a small child myself, and I think they were only a year apart. You know, they're basically a year apart, and
that's crazy. I never thought about the fact that they were that close.
Yeah, they're one almost exactly a year apart, and even in that short year. Like, I think it just prepared me so much more for when young. That was nothing, minus the Burger King and the, you know, and the throwing up profusely. But yeah, there was a lot of. I think out of all of the advice that anybody ever gave, there was only one piece of advice that ever stuck with me that was like true, because everybody did the same thing and I was young. So everybody had this even more of a need to like, yeah. Oh, you don't know what you're doing. You're 20, 21 years old. You know, you don't know. You barely can take care of yourself. And they were right. but, you know, it doesn't make my age shouldn't determine my ability to take you know, to take care of a child. You know, there's no difference between a 21-year-old me minus the internal struggles in my brain. But, you know, from a 21 to a 31-year-old, you know, you're all in the same depth. Like, you don't understand, you know, it's something that you can't understand until it happens. So, So the one piece of advice that you've probably already heard and that I'm going to say, you know, impart to you, even though I'm sure you've already heard it, but don't let that kid sleep in your bed.
Yes, I have heard. I have heard it both. I did. You already, like, I think right after he was born, you said.
Is
that
it?
To
did
me.
I? Yeah, it's so important. But in my opinion,
other people have said. Well, it is important for if we go back to like the scare tactic statistics and stuff. Like it's important there. It's, you know, it's basically. I don't know why they call it SIDS when they're really calling it when it's really like you fucked up. And your baby died.
Right.
Like, SIDS isn't a thing. It's, you did something you shouldn't have done, and your baby died. Like, you put them in the car seat wrong. You put them in their swing wrong, and they suffocated, or they choked, or something. You did something, and your baby died.
Right.
Anyway, so, the chance of SIDS, if your baby sleeps with you, is, like, 40% higher.
Yeah.
I guess the most dangerous, and I didn't know this. The most dangerous is if you're holding your baby in like a chair or on a couch and you both fall asleep. That's the most dangerous. But yeah, so from people, then there's other people like a friend of ours who their first kid slept in the bed with them all the time. Kid's fine. But had a huge problem like transitioning out of mm-hmm. sleeping in the bed. And yeah. that's, so both of those things are things that I obviously want to avoid. So yeah, he sleeps in his bassinet or, you know, if it's the middle of the day, sometimes he'll sleep in his swing or whatever. But never like unattended and stuff. Occasionally in the morning, like while, if Mrs. Razzle's waiting for me to finish showering or something, and then I'm going to take him, she will put him in the bed just so she can like hold him and put like, you know, hold his pacifier and stuff for like a half hour, an hour, and then we'll switch and I'll take him or whatever. So, but no, like at night and stuff like that, naps, he absolutely does not sleep in the bed with us.
Yes. I, I do know that the, you know, I was kind of a, I don't like to use the term, part-time parent, but you know, it's applicable. You know, I was separated, from my ex-wife after the second year of, both. Well, I mean, not, cause I don't know if people know this, but I'm not going to get into it cause we don't have time, but I have both of my little dazzles are from two different people. But my ex-wife, I think we were married for about 2 years while he was born. So we separated when he was around two. So he got 2 years. And in that 2 years, he, you know, he did not sleep in the bed. You know, he had his crib or his, you know, little pack and play or whatever. And that was great. Never had any problems. Now, the oldest Dazzle, I cannot oversee and control or contribute to what happened, you know, when he was at home because mm-hmm. he was with his mother. She was a little bit more, I'll use the word, she coddled him a lot. And the dynamic in the relate, not only the relationship between both, I love both of my children equally. I know most parents say that and they're lying. Most parents have a favorite. I can tell you, I do not.
As of right now, I have a favorite.
You have a favorite. Yeah. Yeah. But I do not have a favorite. I appreciate certain things in each of them more in one and the other. But I don't, the love that I have is equal. So I do not have a favorite. But I have a very different dynamic with me and youngest Dazzle compared to me and oldest Dazzle. And you know what it was? I think it was that 2 years. He had me 2 years in his infancy as a full-time father. And unfortunately, my oldest Dazzle did not. And he was kind of, he is 100% a mama's boy. And, you know, he always had problems with, you know, sleeping, you know, crib or, you know, pack and play or whatever. It was always, you know, very needy. So I've seen it both. I've seen what happens with both. And on that note, I think we've hit our time.
Yeah, I think we are good. So as of right now, I don't remember all the places we are, but I can tell you where this will be. This will be on YouTube. This will be on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play. And we are also on Twitter at RAZZLDAZZL show.
Are we still active on that? I mean, I still get notifications.
Oh, yeah. I look at it all the time.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, I don't know when we're going to put this up, but I really want an intro before we put it
maybe
up.
Maybe this will be a moot point. Maybe we'll have an intro by the time people hear this.
Right. So if you, by the time you hear this, we're either going to have an intro
or we've failed.
Or we'll have an intro, hopefully, for the next one.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, we've got this shiny new space mm-hmm. and this shiny new podcast. I would like to complete the shininess mm-hmm. and kind of legitimize the...
I think we have a website.
Do we?
I think we do. Hold on. Let me make sure. I think it's like the razzledazzleshow.com. Yeah, that too. Let me see. .com. Yeah, therazzledazzleshow.com.
Oh, no.
And all of our episodes are available on there. There's that same old snazzy picture of us, which we can change at some point. Oh, look at that. There's even links to Apple, Google, and Spotify right on our there website.
And I know that we had a weight loss challenge that was...
We mentioned once.
Once.
Eight months ago.
I mean, you know, from January to July. I know that you had too much going on. I would just like to update everybody that I am 30 pounds lighter this year at this time than I was last year at this time.
You are 30 pounds sexier.
Well, you know, that's one way to look at it.
Our last episode was March 18th.
So we took 4 months off.
Yeah. That's less than I thought it was. I thought it was more than that.
Yeah, that seems low. All right, well, hey.
I'm just reading our old titles. Coma Life, Peppermint Balls, Just the Tip, We Love the Uneducated, Shit Jar Warehouse, The Journey Inwards, Don't Answer the Iron, and The Earth is Flat.
Wow.
I have some ideas of what I'm going to call this one. But
well, I can't wait.
We'll see.
All right. And on that note, I guess I will play us out.
Indeed.
Okay, bye.